picture a young man in the first century doing what you're doing today, worshiping God. And he did so on a regular basis, as was his good habit. He was in a synagogue. And when the young man sang, he would often sing from Psalm 110, these words, "The Lord is at your right hand, the Lord will judge the nations." And he would sing of God's love in the morning and God's faithfulness at night, same as Bill just read there. And when the young man prayed, he would often pray these words with other people out of Psalm 31. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then young man prayed those words and sang those songs with great sincerity all the time. They were really on his heart. In fact, that prayer from Psalm 31, he would pray in term last group of prayers when he was just about to die. And the young man who sang those songs with others and prayed those prayers with others was Jesus of Nazareth. That's how the Lord grew up and worshiping God using a song book that we know as the Psalms. It wasn't a song book in every pew like we have, but it was one copy that people would hear and read and commit to memory. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, you know, he quoted from the Psalms and the prophets telling two strangers on the road to Emmaus about himself. So he really loved the Psalms. In fact, when you look at the Psalms, we'll see that it's the largest book in the Old Testament and the most quoted Old Testament book by New Testament people. Okay, so Jesus really loved the Psalms, and so did the other writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul and Peter and so forth. So one great thing about the Psalms, they really focus in on God himself and his character and what he's up to. And probably, if you're allowed to have favorite parts of the, you know, Old Testament, Psalms are probably the most favorite of mine. Try to read a psalm every day or every other day, both to practice giving thanks to God and also to express things that are on my heart at any given moment. Psalms are very God-centered. I think we saw an example of what they would be like in the song that the buyers sang there. And, you know, when somebody praises God, it takes away the perhaps errors of humanity. Not much focus on, you know, what we're going to do or what we're going to think, but more emphasis on who God is and how great he is. So Psalms keep us out of a lot of trouble. When somebody sings a psalm or praises God, you're not going to run into, you know, theological hobby horses or things that they just like to emphasize. It's really all about God. So it's a very God-centered activity, not so much the opinion of men. Psalm 92, we see this. The Lord is really front and center, virtually every verse. "Lord, we praise your name. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. We praise your works. We're glad for your thoughts. And Lord, you're exalted forever." So something really, really great about the Psalms in terms of a chance to honor God. And inspired by God, but very human in terms of praises and prayers. You might say they were Jesus' songbook. I don't know if this is the right word I'm using, but they were on his playlist, on his iPod, in his iPod in his heart. Is it iPod or iPad? I better stay away from that illustration. But you get the point. They were his favorites. Okay. Larry Crabb described the Psalms as expressing our loudest praises and our toughest questions. And that's what we'll find in the Psalms. If you were to break down the Psalms, 150 of them, of course, about 100 express gladness, joy, praise, thanks, and confidence in God. A good number, about 100. But in about 50 express grief and pain and sorrow and cries for help. Okay, so the Psalms are very, we could identify with them. They're very real in terms of the human expression of what's happening there. And I like the Psalms because I think the average person is probably troubled and down, you know, we might say at least a good percentage of their life. So they could pray those Psalms and know, well, I'm not the first person who ever went through this difficulty. And God helped this person so he could help me. And even in the Psalms of praise, or rather Psalms of pain and grief and sadness, by the end of the Psalm, often, not always, but often, David or another writer, they're thanking God by the end of it, saying, Lord, you are going to help me. So even in our sadness, we could do this. So when we sing the Psalms or read the Psalms or pray the Psalms, we're saying, hey, this is exactly what God's like right here. You know, and this is the way I feel about God. We identify with them. Some good things to know about the Psalms. Psalms, they're not a spiritual aspirin, temporarily take away our pain, not a quick fix or a quick place to run to safety, not a blanket on a cold night. Psalms are like an anchor in the storm of life. And sometimes you never notice the anchor until you're in the storm. Well, the anchor is very strong. And we can meet God in his word that way. Psalms do this for us. Again, Larry Crabb studying that, you know, and us learning from him a little bit. Psalms explode our theological boxes. In other words, if we say, I know everything there is to know about God, and this is the way it is, and right here, this is my total explanation for him. God's not going to be in there. Okay, he's going to say, you can't totally comprehend me. So they explode our theological boxes. They shatter our dreams, but give us better dreams that God has for us. We see that in what the people would pray and sing in the Psalms. They show that God's power does not always give us earthly success. Well, God's power is real, and his power can even be in our souls, you know, when we trust Christ. But that doesn't guarantee earthly success. Sometimes we need the power just to know how to lose well and still trust God. And when we look at the Psalms, we say with Psalm 62, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Lord, in you alone, I can have the rest, the strength that I need in life. And again, the Psalms of praise aren't an overflow of good times, but they focus in on God's faithfulness. And also, Psalms are great, or praise is great, in terms of passing on good news, or what we would call evangelism. Because when people praise God, and others are aware of it, then you come away with the thought that, oh, God loves people, and people are loving God back. That's what praise does. That's why if we have church in the park next week, you know, and if a quarter of my life I wouldn't go to such a thing, but if I was jogging or hitting a tennis ball or shooting a basketball, and I would hear that, I would think, oh, God loves people, or at least these people think so, and these people are loving God back. So praise is a wonderful thing. Through the Psalms, and to know God is to praise him. So I wanted to share with you like a sampling of the Psalms, the ways that God shows his love for us. We're just going through every Old Testament book as a summary, and to concentrate on the praise Psalms mostly, because last week we did Job, and that was kind of a, you know, go through the very painful times. But this is the praises of God, okay, and why people praise God. I just picked for his greatness, for his friendship, and for his the eternal relationship he has with us. So this is examples of that. We honor God with praise. He's the focus. And a simple example, oh, Lord, you are a shield around me. Best defensive weapon back then was a shield. If you had a shield, you were probably going to be okay. So in God there's safety. Without God there is no safety. Something we know for us, our own self. As you face every day, I trust God, there's safety. If I'm ignoring God, no safety in that. Okay, you are a shield around me, Psalm 3. Here's another praise to God, his greatness. O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, or how majestic, and you ordain praise from children. So you got the big picture from everything God made, the mountains and so forth, to the little ones. That it's a great honor to God because His fingerprint is on all those circumstances. I looked at my clothes. I did this before, but I did it again to see where my clothes came from. Okay, suit from Indonesia. Okay, shoes from China. Tie from Kohl's. Okay, so that was easy to relate to there. But how majestic is God's name in all the earth? Every mountain, every molecule, every person, the tag reads, made by God. Right? Made by God. It's really, the material's made by God. We thank the Lord. Hopefully the Indonesian people were blessed in their labors. But the greatness of God in all He has made. My brother and his wife went to Yellowstone National Park this summer, first time they were there. They've been all over the world. They were really overwhelmed by the greatness of nature and the wildlife in the wild, as it were. Saw all kind of wild animals you'd never see, you know, wolves, foxes, bears, moose, all of that. So that was something. And children praise God, as it says. We can learn to praise God by observing children. They could teach us a lot. But one of my sons, I took them all swimming, my wife and I, when they were little. I may have mentioned this a couple years ago. And one began to sing in the locker room real loud. Locker rooms are loud, but he was louder than everything in the locker room. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. That's an old song. And he was so loud, you know. So I said, hey, you know. I was so loud. And he said, what's wrong, Dad? Don't you want people to believe in Jesus? You know. Oh. But God's love and faithfulness, that's a part of why we praise Him, His greatness. Psalm 18, I love You, O Lord, my strength. He gives us strength of character, strength of faith, strength of for the race of life. Psalm 36, another about the greatness of God. Your love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the skies. God's love is greater than our need to be loved. He's there for us. And isn't great about His love and faithfulness? He doesn't reject anybody who comes to Him. Now, you and I, we, you know, sometimes we say, well, there's room in my life for you, but not for the other. And it's just so conditional sometimes. But Jesus said, anybody who comes to Me, I will not cast out. That's really great that He's like that. And then for the greatness of God, again, He sees grief and trouble. He defends those who are in bad times, near to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's forgiving and good. We need that every day. And then this one's scary but true. He's terrifying. All the modern translations use the word awesome, but that's a word on the streets that means, oh, new pair of sneakers, those are awesome sneakers. But in the Bible, that word terrifying means he's really fearful and dreadful. And so He's really the only one we should have maximum fear of, God, in a very respectful manner. That's Psalm 68. And then we thank God for His friendship. We'll move along a little more rapidly here. Closeness to us. He wants to be close to us. That's great. Blessed are those who walk in Your presence. That's people every day. We want to know God's presence. Where is there a place without You, Lord? That's in the home, church, work, neighborhood, store, hospital, funeral home, graveside. Where is there a place without God? And then this one's a good one for friendship with God. Better is one day in Your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. It's just that wanting to be with God, to gather two applications, when you know what a preacher would say, better is one day in church than 1,000 elsewhere. I think that's a fair application. If we could have that in our soul, because it's a big deal. You know, or one day in fellowship with God better than a thousand days without friendship with Him. And then the last one, which I like a lot, God's eternal security to you as a gift. Now, when somebody loves you, don't you know that doesn't it seem right that you would want to know that they're going to love me all the time, and they're not going to leave or forsake me? Well, where do you think that came from? God made us for Himself like that. So we can thank God He'll be with you forever, and you'll be with Him forever. That's salvation. God's with you forever. You'll be with God forever. Forever meaning today when you trust Him and throughout all eternity. Favorite verse, Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. And then here's some expressions of that. You set me in your presence forever. That's King David. So how long is David in fellowship with God? Forever. That's no wonder he was such a tiger, you know, as a king and warrior and so forth. And later on, yet I am always with you, Lord, even in trials and questions. You have made my lot secure. You fill me with joy and eternal pleasures at your right hand. How long are those pleasures with God? Forever. I like Psalm 4 to go to sleep. It says, I lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So that's like an everyday experiencing the eternal security of God. And then this last one, pretty good favorite. Lord, you have been our home or our dwelling place through all generations, and from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so praise God from the blessings that flow from Him, His wonderful character in the Psalms. Read the Psalms and pray those to God, Jesus did. Sing those to God, Jesus did. And when we praise Him, we're freed from our selfishness. That's what happens when you praise anybody else. You know, you say, thank you, Mrs. McGillicuddy, for helping us today. And you're not thinking about yourself. And you move from sin to glad obedience. To close an old Andre Crouch song, I never cared for the phrase holy roller, but in this part of the song it's kind of good. He says this, they say I'm a holy roller, and what they say is true, and if you knew why I'm rolling, you'd be rolling too. Okay, that is, when you praise God, you're just glad to praise God, and it helps others do so, which is a blessing to their soul. So we're glad to do that. And let's have communion with the Lord, with one another, because of His great love for us. Let's pray together.